And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear here and declare your independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms of the Nest, Phoenix, Phoenix.com. Davy Barker sitting in, Bitcoin Not Bomb. Say hello.
Good morning.
Okay, now this is what we're going to do. This hour, we did Roger Ver and kind of first hour and slapping around, and I'm just tired of waiting, and don't tell me what the promise is. I tell you what I want, and you fill it. I'm so sick of this now. I'm tired of being, you know, just promised and told and we're gonna and kind of and pinky swear. No. I this is what I want. Who's gonna do this? You know, do I got to go write my, what, you think I can't write my own cryptocurrency? Or know several people that know how. I'm probably not me. But it's, it's a template. It's just, boom. I do. Why do you think you got gazillion coins? Hell, bands have their own digital currency. So you can just do another one. Oh, here's my ICO. I just made millions of dollars in gimmick. Okay, why? Why would I do that? Well, it's because we can make money. I go, yeah, really? Okay. I don't have any. What makes you better than all these 15 gazillion others? Which one meets my criteria? Or I don't want to talk to you anymore. I don't care. Blah, 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 blah. Doesn't matter. You know, all the promises have been gone. It's all central planning of the right back where we started. So we're going to be, we got called last week and had some conversations with, and Davi's working with, and, you know, kind of, what we have Stan Larimer, on the show. We're going to be talking about a new currency coming out of the guys that did BitShares, and one of the sons of the guys did Steemit, and they got some skills behind them, but they want to offer a new currency. I'm not even sure what they're, going to be calling it. We'll get that in. Dylan Howard is also the co-founder and chief operations officer of Hieronomex. Now, president of Hieronomex is Stan Larimer. Then we have, Michael Taggart, co-founder of Hieronomex.
Now, I think it's Nomex, like Nomex, economics.
Hieronomex. Oh, okay, Hieronomex. Okay, there you go. Thank you. All right, so then we got, Davy, you've talked to the guys. We've talked to them. We had long conversations. We're trying to, making this point right here. Didn't get into the nit and tittle of their currency. I'm just like, look, man, you guys are going to be able to add to the space by providing these features I kept getting promised before or not. Then you're just another blah, blah, blah. I don't care. So I'm just like, So from your perspective, talking to you before we got them sitting there standing on the queue, man. They're sitting right there on deck. They're ready to go. Now, what are we hoping that they're going to be able to tell us?
You mean you want your criterion?
Yeah, and just yours. I mean, you talk to them. I mean, what do you think's going to happen? What are we going to get?
Well, it sounds like they're offering a currency, but they're offering much more than a currency. They've got a whole platform and a whole list of other products that are made by the same developers. But as for the criterion for what we want for money, I've been sort of keeping a list here. So I've got, it's got to be solid, it's got to be liquid, it's got to be private, it's got to be secure, it's got to be cheap, it's got to be fast, and it's got to be easy. And each one of those has a series of bullets that explain, like, what do you put into a cryptocurrency to make that what the thing is, whether it's peer-to-peer, whether it's fixed block sizes, whether it's fixed money supply, whatever.
There's other things that, Davy has come into that we, he writes books. He does illustrations. We do graphic novels. It's a cultural thing. And that's what we're doing, this Pirates Without Borders. It's a promotion of the decentralization of everything. So when you do this and you're looking at these kind of traits, we can define use case scenarios. We can create the spacecraft of going to do the shipping of the whatever to Mars and back and kind of, we're not taking gold with us. I think it needs to be light.
Yeah.
You know, so digital's like light.
Not just lightweight, light. But literally light.
Yeah. It's as light as light, you know? So this is these things. I'm tired of waiting. So we're going to have these guys, you know, welcome Stan, Dylan, and Mike. I go through their whole bios here, but I mean, you're like, Stan, let's see. Has 40 years experience in engineering, program management, business development, and even teaching rocket science at the U.S. Air Force Academy. He has contributed on 17 different aerospace R&D programs for air, ground. Okay, so he's a rocket man. Okay, so then he gets into, let's see, he's like, for the past 4 years, he has been building a new industry to develop unmanned companies that produce smart currencies and other decentralized financial services. He is known as the godfather of BitShares, the leading real-time digital currency. His son, Dan Larimer, is the inventor of the real-time blockchain technology used in, among others, BitShares, Steemit, PeerPlays, and soon EOS. Now, remember, there's, you know, the launch of EOS. Is that like a new and great and wonderful stuff, or is it just a rebranding of what? I don't know. I mean, maybe some of you guys know. Dylan Howard, co-founder and chief operations officer of Heronomics. Yeah, Heronomics, that works better. All right. So, Heronomics. Dylan's enterprises are permeated with the skills of a visionary entrepreneur who is dedicated to social and cultural change. All right, cool. That's us. He activates potential synergies, cross-pollinating practices and technologies across various industries while creating new business collaborations with both. That sounds like a prospectus. But the thing is that he's going to use his skills to what? Free us for social and cultural change? Okay. Well, what kind of social and cultural change? Social justice change, all right change, freedom change, libertarian anarchist, leave me aloneist change? We're going to find out. Michael Taggart, co-founder of Heronomics. As an early adopter of Bitcoin, Michael became known as a Bitcoin evangelist. Back in 2013, Michael is heavily involved in developing blockchain technology business services with founding partnerships with Cryptonomics and advanced custom blockchain development company, and it goes on. So the development company. So here they go. They go, yeah, we've seen this happen. You know, my son, you know, I did well, I can do well, and we kind of, let's go kick ass. And they bring it together. Are they going to give us an offering that meets our criteria? Let's go find out. Let's start off with Stan. Stan, I got you there?
I'm right here.
Okay. Stan, did you listen
Good morning.
Did you listen to our first hour that we did with Roger?
No, didn't get a chance to hear
All right,
that.
Well, you got a dose this last weekend, and we're talking, so here it is. Here's your chance. I don't want to hear about, and how, you know, digital currency and blockchain, you know, the elevator speech that you go to grandma that didn't know and doesn't have, and how great and wonderful, you know, blockchain technology. I don't get, the audience, we get it, okay? It's how. I go, wow, this newfangled car thing. You know, wow, tell us about, cars you'll be able to get. No, we're not there. We're at, okay. Man, I'm on the drag strip. I'm on the racetrack. Which one of these cars is going to whip around them corners best? Which one is not going to kill me? Which one has good brakes? Which I want details. So your new currency, tell us what it is and what it's going to give me. Go.
Okay. Well, first off, BitShares could be thought of as the arsenal of freedom because it produces more than one type of coin. And so if this was a conversation about defending liberty with a gun, we'd be talking about a Glock Model 22. If this is talking about defending freedom with currency, we might be talking about Bitcoin or BitShares, but we're really talking about a factory that makes all kinds of different coins and all kinds of different tools for defending freedom.
Oh, so I can order my currency through you guys. How many billions of dollars does that cost?
You can do it in 15 minutes, and it'll cost you $20, and you've got your own currency trading globally.
Boom! Now I get to set my criteria and how and this and that and whatever, and I call it Pirate Coin.
You sure could.
All right, let's do it, man. Waiting on you now. All right.
All right.
Okay, so this is, you're offering your place as a service for creating these kinds of whatever traits I have, but maybe you might have created one that, you know, you have. We're going to talk about that. So this first, we just got introduced to each of these guys, got their bios. When we come back, we're going to go ahead and say, yo, what's up? Because we were talking to Roger. We didn't get to really talk to him before the show. So we'll say, yo, what's up? On the live stream on freemansphoenix.com, top left, go in there. You won't miss a thing in the break. And then when we come back, rock and roll and whatnot, they're going to make us happy or just piss us off more. We're going to find out.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
Hey, hold on just a second.
Hey, good morning.
What's that?
Talk to him.
Oh, you're talking to me?
Good morning, man.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Okay, this is what hopefully in that intro, I made it very clear what our interest is, what I'm looking for, and what I'm advocating for the audience and all our projects. Just slapping around on Roger, same exact thing. And Tone Vase, I'm going to give him what fur in the third hour,
good,
too. So this
please
is,
do,
from my perspective, I am so sick of the promise. Yeah. I don't know, 8 years isn't long enough? I'm going, no. If I have the ability to create our own, I'm going to advocate for it. I'll select it. I go on my exchange, and I say, you know what? I want this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. I go, Monero, Zcash, Dash, Ethereum, a little bit of this and some of that, and they had my Bitcoin going in. God, why? Because they represent more freedom. And that is why it's just, whether it's a little teeny drop in the bucket from me, it is just a one itty-bitty more market signal to what is supported. If you're not giving me something better by a philosophical sense, you're just wasting my time. So I just having another crypto don't mean crap to me. I got 1,000 to pick from. So these are the criteria. So, Davi, when we come back, the first thing he's going to do is he's going to say, all right, you know, here are some of the main things and what that means and take, I don't know, how long does it take you to do that?
I mean, we could just read the list right away.
How much time? Yeah, go do it now. Give it to him. Go.
So I got solid, liquid, private, secure, cheap, fast, and easy.
Okay, so solid and liquid means what?
Well, in the case of a cryptocurrency, I think what solid really means is that there's a fixed money supply that can't be manipulated by someone, and that the price of that unit is derived by the market and not artificially tied to something.
Well, and that
let him finish. We don't have time. Let him finish.
Do you want to do this on the air?
We can
do this.
No. Go to the next one.
So by liquid, I think what it really needs to be is that it's peer-to-peer, that people can transfer as quickly as they want to each other. In under privacy, I have anonymity and I have mixing, meaning like you're obscuring the direction of the money. You're not tainting coins, things like that.
30 seconds.
Security is it's that it's irreversible, that it's encrypted, and that it's blockchain, meaning there's no central source or whatever. And then cheap is just figuring out a way that the transaction fees are reliable. Fast is ensuring a way that you have a scalable transaction bandwidth and you don't get clogged up. And then easy is just your grandma adjust button. It needs to have a user interface that anyone can use. If you want mass adoption, it's got to be simple enough for anyone.
All right, here we're coming back. Here we go.
It's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
We're right back. Davi Barker from Bitcoin Not Bombs, Ernest Hancock, Freedom's Phoenix, Declare Your Independence, and Pirates Without Borders looking for a cryptocurrency. And if we can't find it, we'll freaking make it. Because I am just, I'm tired of waiting. Tired of waiting. Who's going to be the cryptocurrency? If nobody wants to, you know, offer up, then fine, screw you. We'll go do it ourselves. It can't be that. We got guys who know how to do it. Hell, guys that have done it. Okay? So we're going, all right. So now we are talking to Dylan Howard, Stan Landmere, and Michael Taggart, okay? So we're going to go ahead, Larimer, she got written down here wrong. Okay, so I go, Stan Larimer, all right. You heard what Davi was depicting of our desires. The audience has heard it. All right, go. What are you offering? What's going to make it better? Why are we talking to you?
Okay, well, first off, as I've said, we have a variety of coins, and so when I give you an answer for one or the other, it may vary from coin to coin. But is it solid? Yes, our main coin, the BitShares, has got a fixed supply, and no more are being added. So it's there as a standard limited supply currency. It's very liquid. You mentioned a couple things in terms of liquidity. Yes, you can trade it. Yes, you can buy it on multiple exchanges. Yes, you can cash in and out of a variety of different currency. Primarily, you trade it for Bitcoin and like most of the other currencies out there.
Okay, so this currency is already created, going to be created. It's out there. How long has it been out there? What are you talking about?
It's been out there for 3 years, since 2014. Been running continuously, and it is the number one most used currency. So if you want to say market cap, well, okay, Bitcoin and Ethereum are up there. But if you want to say most used, we do more transactions per day than Bitcoin and Ethereum combined.
Okay, now what is the name of this currency? You're talking about particular crypto, which is what?
BitShares.
BitShares. Okay, we're on BitShares. Now, BitShares kind of branches and do a bunch of others, but we're talking about BitShares right now. All right, so we got BitShares up there, and it's doing a bunch of transactions. Well, you know, it's BitShares. It's on all the exchanges. Is it on Shapeshift or going to be or what?
Yeah, it's on Shapeshift and Block Trades. So that's
okay.
A couple
so it can
places.
Be it can move in and out of in the ecosystem. All right. So then, now tell me about the other features.
Okay. So how secure is it? Well, it's a blockchain. It uses DPoS instead of proof of work. DPoS is a more modern system, and what that enables is very high speed transactions. I'd argue it's more secure than Bitcoin. Bitcoin, three different companies sign over half the blocks, and DPoS it guarantees it no more than a tiny percentage.
Wait, you're saying DPoS, like DEPOS?
Yes, delegated proof of stake.
Proof of stake,
and,
got it.
That's what's being used in all the coins that you mentioned. So it's been heavily proven over the past few years, running flawlessly, no security incidents whatsoever. So that as far as I'm concerned, is a slam dunk on security.
Okay, now proof of stake and proof of work, we have yet to do. I've had it explained to me and went, you know, until my eyes glazed over, which was like, I don't know, 10 seconds. But I have a proof of work is where you got all this math and they're out and discovering the block and that, you know, kind of takes care of that. Ethereum is proof of work right up until they threaten that. At some point, they'll have enough time involved that it secures the chain so much that they can go to proof of stake. And then all of a sudden it offers up a bunch of other features and cheapness and whatever it is. I'm not really sure I understand exactly how proof of stake works other than I've had it explained to me and I read the stuff and it says, but that don't mean anything to me. But so it has been proven over time that proof of stake can be secure so far. So I'm going, all right, so let's assume that proof of stake is, you know, at least as secure as, you know, what Bitcoin was 5 years ago or something, I guess. So we'll say proof of stake is, you know, okay, whatever. We'll just assume that now. And this is a big debate inside, and a lot of popular ones use that. But so let's say we go, all right, you got a proof of stake. Does that give you some advantages over proof of work? I mean, one, it doesn't kill as many electrons, I can tell you that.
Well, yeah. There's a tremendous advantage of it. That's how we get 3-second transactions instead of Bitcoin's 10-minute transactions. That's how we can put it in satellite orbit running on low-powered computers instead of having to have it hooked up next to a power plant in order to fund and power all the mining equipment. You're never going to put a Bitcoin node in space. So you can't take gold into space and you can't take Bitcoin into space. But you certainly can take DPoS into space. So that'd be an example. Super efficient, super fast. And we invented it specifically for this reason. If you're going to put an exchange on the blockchain, you can't wait 10 minutes to do a trade or even an hour if you count multiple blocks that you have to do. So we had to invent something better, and that's what we did with the delegated proof of stake. That's what gives us our competitive edge. That's what gives us our tens of thousands of transactions per second. That's what gives us our scalability. If you're sticking around on the idea that proof of work is going to be the solution for the future, you're just hamstringing your whole solution.
You know what? I talked to some mathematicians, high-end geek guys that weren't necessarily in Bitcoin, but they understood it, and they're just kind of whatever. And they had to explain, and once they went through the math of it, the concern that they had became my concern. Patrick Byrne, that could be. I said, at some point, using proof of work, where the incentives are always the arms race to get, it seems like we're going to need a Dyson sphere, you know, to be able to power Bitcoin, which is, you know, this enveloping of the sun to collect all the electromagnetic, the photons to be able to convert to electricity, be able to do the currency. I go, at some point, where does it stop? So I haven't got a good answer to that. So maybe proof of stake is part of it or convert into or something. So let's go ahead and say that you say it. Some will say it's a bug. You say it's a feature. I'll let that one go. Proof of stake is that the it's like a voting of the people that have it or something. Can you do a quick explanation of what proof of stake is?
Well, proof of stake just is simply using the number of shares you have and how long you've held them as a way of controlling your voting for who gets to sign the blocks. Delegated proof of stakes, you're delegating that power to the nodes that are signing it, and you can revoke that power. So you can't fire a mining factory if they've got so much hash power and they start misbehaving. Guess what? Bitcoin has to put up with it. But in the case of delegated proof of stake, people vote for the people who will do the signing based on their reputation.
Oh, my God. I got to vote every 3 seconds. I'd be tired.
No. All you have to do is go down in your wallet and click off people nodes that you trust to do that. And it takes a long time for a person's node reputation to get up to where they're going to get elected and allowed to sign. And then the system enforces a round robin among the nodes that are trusted in the system to do the signing.
Okay.
So that
now we're going to do a whole show just on that. All right. So
Now
we have low transaction fees, security, liquidity, inflation. I mean, all these things. So let's talk about transaction fees. Where are we at there?
Okay. Those are set by the system, but right now 3 cents is what it would take to send any amount of money somewhere.
Okay,
so,
except by who said we got, is there the all-seeing, all-powerful, behind-the-curtain Oz guy that's going to change the number on me to where I don't like it no more? And who benefits? Who gets this money? The transaction fees go to who?
The transaction fees go to reduce the number of BitShares in circulation. So anytime 3 cents is collected, it's put back in the reserve pool, taken out of circulation, and causes deflation. So everybody gets a benefit out of it. In the sense that it's causing more scarcity of the BitShares in the transactions.
So you're saying transaction fees are destroyed, essentially.
Well, they're you could think of them as being destroyed. They're actually put in a reserve pool where they could be spent out. There's about $100 million in that reserve pool. It's a fixed amount that ebbs and flows.
So who's got that $100 million?
Yeah, I'm wondering who's holding that.
Yeah, that's held by the blockchain. And the only way it can get spent is if you can get enough of the BitShare holders to vote for a proposal to spend a certain amount on a certain thing. For example,
transaction fees are going into a pool that is determined by the consensus of the whole network?
It's just like a company, and it has shareholders. The shareholders get to vote on anything the company wants to spend money on.
Yeah, and how much do you got? 52.6% of all BitShares?
No, but wait a minute. You're saying a shareholder is anyone who's holding the currency, right? Because the currency is the share?
Exactly.
So a transaction fee goes into, it's like...
So I call it BitShares.
It's sort of like going into a slush fund for the whole economy.
Right. It goes into a development fund for the economy. And so if they want to update the wallet, include new features, spend money on marketing,
and
they put a proposal out.
Every
and everybody,
user.
Any user can put a proposal out, and then everybody can vote on it if it's voted in. And the network, the blockchain starts paying those users to do that.
Now, wasn't this part of what Ethereum was or something? They had that, and then somebody said, thanks for collectivizing all that money, and it's mine now. And that was the $40 million split or fork or something, right?
Completely different from the DAO, yeah.
Yeah. This
no, I mean the same principle, the same concept. You may have done it differently, but I mean, you know, it was the idea that there was going to be this voting of these resources that was going to go to, you know, cool ideas to promote whatever, or like Dashworks or something like that. So you have using the currency, you know, segments a lot of this money or these digital currency units go into a area that then everybody votes on. So my first question is, all right, so what percentage do you guys hold of BitShares?
Very tiny percentage. It's a really well-distributed system. It's been out there trading on the market at a relatively low price for a long period of time. So the only people that have them now are people that wanted them and bought them on the same. But nothing was held back in a pre-mine sense. 100% of it was issued to people who had participated in the early distribution mining. We did use mining early on as a way to give everybody a fair chance, every geek a fair chance, and then we used a different form of mining that's a little bit like crowdfunding that was allowed people to donate, and so they mined their shares by competing in donation contests throughout a period of 100 days. And so that's how we made sure it got 100% distributed to people who participated those two ways. We didn't hold anything back for ourselves.
Okay, how is it that you came up with this philosophical and technical currency to do it this way? Why? I mean, somebody, a banker, somebody, a mathematician, somebody looked at the others. You know, how did you, you know, open up into this niche? I mean, you know, and then, you know, there's you're making other currencies. And I'm going, okay, why? You know, to do what? To customize for people? Or you just got another ICO you want to do, go make a few billion or something? I mean, you know, why? What are we talking about?
Well, the fundamental statement of Dan Lammer.
Okay, we're gonna come right back. Who is that was talking right then?
Michael? This is Stan right here.
Okay, Stan. We'll go ahead and, you know, have you answer that. Go to some of the other guys, see what's up.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Okay, we're back again. You know, I want to go. We're talking, yakking it right up until, you know, we get to, you know, the show. You know, I wasn't playing with my music properly. But we did learn a little bit in the break. And if you're on the live stream, you're learning it live too. But now I'm going to have, we're going to go through Stan, Dylan, and Michael and have them each have their say. I am seeing the development of BitShares. I remember when they first launched and it was a talk about and everybody announced quit it and I don't, you know, pay attention. I don't care. I'm looking for these features and they do all this and let me know and how you do it. I really don't care as long as it's secure. You know, it's trusted. It works. You know, it's fungible. It's, you know, it's low transaction fees. It's anonymous. It's good. So now with BitShares experience and your crypto factory that you got here, is there something that you're wanting to promote, or is there something you want to create? Is there one that you want to have go up now? It's the answer to something. Why are we talking? What is it that you're bringing to the space that you want to make sure everybody knows?
Okay, well, that's a long list of questions. Let's go back to the beginning. Dan Lammer did this to secure life, liberty, and property for mankind. And so he got into looking at digital currency as one of the places where our freedoms are being eroded, and how digital currency might help. He was back talking to Satoshi Nakamoto in 2009 about the subject, and then a few years later, you know, at that time he was the apprentice, today he's the master, he decided, well, you know, if Bitcoin can put a coin on the blockchain, why can't I put an entire economic system on there? Why can't I put a level playing field where people can trade without having Mt. Gox, or, you know, think of all the exchanges that have either been shut down or self-destructed from their own misbehavior. He wanted to put the entire digital exchange on the blockchain so there'd be no middleman in any of the trading. In order to do that, he had to get it up to light speed because 10-minute blocks just will not run an exchange. So that's what drove the technological innovation that led to DPoS and 3-second block times. And now people use it in real-time games in the PeerPlays blockchain. And it's going to be used in a lot of different places. Our intent and what we're on here today is to talk about the fact that the world needs to have an alternative to the current financial system. If you know, everybody knows why they don't like banks and what banks have been doing to us and how we get bad service from them and how they misuse our money and all that stuff. if we had a level playing field on the blockchain where you could do all kinds of trades, you could have all types of different designer currencies for different uses, then by golly, you'd have another stake in the ground towards freedom.
So are you marketing your capabilities of creating, customizing digital currencies for customers? I mean, is that your advertising, or are you advertising a particular currency that you desire, or just a platform, or BitShares in and of itself? I mean, here's your opportunity. I got three guys here, you know, the audience. Oh, we got a solution to something. What is it?
Okay, well, we have a currency that I've just described called BitShares, which is your rapid appreciation currency. That's the one that we saw. If I had $1 million today and I went back in time to when Bitcoin was $4 and I bought $1 million worth of Bitcoin and they came back to the future, it'd be worth $1 billion. You could say the same thing for Ethereum. Well, we're sitting here with such a powerful system that we think it's going to be the next million to billion. So we're telling people that we have a promotional training program going on at billionherocampaign.com that's going to teach the next generation of mainstream users how to do that and leverage that for a bunch of good causes that we will talk about in a little bit. So it's a way of getting mass adoption so people will start using this capability and learn about freedom. Most of the population doesn't even know what this audience knows about freedom. And so we've got to get that message out to mainstream.
So you're wanting to create an infrastructure that is a boiler room for freedom currencies or different traits that this technology allows in blockchain. Is it just currency? Is it other uses?
This particular blockchain is all types of digital assets. So there are interesting currencies. One we'll talk about is the HERO, and that basically is designed to be stable relative to the dollar. We have other currencies that are stable towards other things, including gold and silver. So a lot of our smart coins are designed to track the value of some other asset out there in the world without counterparty risk. No middleman that could steal it from you because it's on the blockchain using techniques called market-pegged assets.
So that's you're kind of locking it to the dollar, or it has the capability of being locked to the dollar for people that want to know it's denominated in dollar, and there's your dollar lock.
Yeah, and that means that you can go back and forth. You know, when BitShares is going up, you buy BitShares. 3 seconds later, you can be sitting in a nice HERO earning 5% growth. When you think it's going to start back up again, you pop back and forth. And those back and forth trades that people do typically on centralized exchanges happen without any middleman. There's no exchange that's going to front run your trade, and no exchange that's going to maybe not have full backing of everything they say.
You know, I
have.
Just had a financial libertarian advisory. He's a financial service guy out of Scottsdale here, and he just sent me yesterday. He's going with Patrick Burns T0, where the transaction settles immediately. They go, and the legacy system is 3 days, and that's how they do naked short selling, all that stuff that pissed off Patrick Byrne with the overstock stock. And so he goes, they just changed it. They're making it T2. It's 2 days. They only get 48 hours to flash screw you. You know, that's Goldman Sachs. I'm going, you're going to get flash effed. I'm going, yeah, woo! You only got 48 hours. They get down to 24. No, it's got to be instant because these computers, they front run you, which means you put it in an order, they'll go get it and then charge more and do it. And Goldman Sachs, 70%. Patrick Byrne told us this, 70% of their profits comes from this kind of transaction stuff. They just go and get it, do it, 70%, because they have no instant settlement of the transaction. They go and front run it. And I'm like, wow. So this is disruptive by billions of dollars, this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm going, all right. So now let's go to Dylan. Dylan, you know, you heard Stan giving us what do you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, I'm coming from a humanitarian background primarily, and I'm also looking at different industries as far as how they can, utilize this system for their own industry, like the entertainment industry. I'm specifically looking at the nonprofit industry regarding, a lot of nonprofits spend 75% of their time, fundraising with their current donor base. And one thing that we can offer these nonprofits, for instance, is to their donors. The donors can actually contribute their money to charities through BitShares, and they actually get to hang on to an asset through BitShares and collateralize a nonprofit smart coin of their choice that is doing all this great work all over the world. So you're not only giving your investors something they can hold on to that grows in value, but it will actually be backing these other charity coins that it's connected with. So that's a whole other game changer in the charity industry that I'm really, really excited to really spearhead and bring to the market in that humanitarian effect and social impact effect.
Okay, Michael, we'll get to you in just a second. But Dylan, this point, tell them about the history of Bitcoin Not Bombs, where it came from and why that name.
Well, I guess what we were originally, the first thing that we were doing was we were doing campaigns to get nonprofit organizations to accept Bitcoin, and that was for a couple of reasons. One, it was because we noticed that we knew it was going to go up, and so we wanted these causes that we supported to invest in something and to receive something in donations that would help them. But also we wanted to prove that, or we wanted to front load so that when the government comes after Bitcoin and says, oh, it's terrorist money and it's prostitute money and all that stuff, you can say, yeah, but it's charity money. And so it was important to say that it's a full, to be able to show that it was a fully functioning currency and not a niche criminal
currency. The impression I got, Bitcoin Not Bombs, is kind of like central planning and the Federal Reserve, and that's how they finance and fund war.
Oh, yeah, that end of it. So it's a Bastiat quote, right? If goods don't cross borders, soldiers will. And so we were saying that Bitcoin is essentially a means in which they cannot prevent us from trading across borders, which, if adopted, would make war impossible.
Because,
war requires inflation.
And one of the groups that benefited was antiwar.com.
Yeah.
It was a big campaign.
That was our first campaign.
Yeah, that's how it starts. So Bitcoin Not Bombs was to use cryptocurrencies, and Bitcoin in particular at the time, for exactly what you're talking about, Dylan. This is one of our goals.
This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty.
Okay, so this is one of our, from the beginning, certainly the libertarian, freedom-oriented kind of people understood one of the big traits of cryptocurrencies was this. One, you couldn't censor it or stop it. That's where the WikiLeaks thing came in, and that pissed off the guys. We were going to shut them down. We turned off their Visa. Ha, 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 ha. Well, we're taking Bitcoin. Damn it! And that kind of launched that. Antiwar.com. The FBI is surveilling them since forever. They're going through all kinds of crap. They're checking their... All of a sudden, here comes Bitcoin. So whenever... it's like going to Vader, and it's, the tighter your fist, the more star systems leak between your fingers. Well, escape. Well, what happened at the San Jose VC... You know, when was that? Was that 10 or so around in there? It was like 10, 11...
That sounds right.
It
was 2012.
Okay, in 2012, they had a big Silicon Valley venture capital going, explain digital currency, and then Davi is in he and Drew Phillips, they go down from Bitcoin Not Bombs dressed as Darth Vader. They had a big, and they go walking around, and it had Uncle Sam top hat on top of his helmet. And he was like, give me your Bitcoin, taxes. I need your taxes. We want to be compliant with the taxes. So we're just going, so this compliance government thing, that's another issue too. That's where the anonymity comes in. And the VCs and the people that were selling, they go up and they say, you're mucking up with our plan. We want them not to be afraid and know that we'll comply and make it a bunch of money. Mm-hmm. And we're going, yeah, we know. And we're not down with that. Okay. So we are freedom act. TVist, not slack TVist. Okay. So when we're doing, talking with you guys, these are the traits that we're emphasizing, and it was what we were promised. When we first started the Bitcoin community early on, they came to the, we did the Lovolution, the Ron Paul thing, and you had the Free State Project and Free Talk Live and Declare Your Independence, Freedom's Phoenix, and all these different things that grew out of that. That's why you guys are contacting us and us doing this, is because it's a, one of the roots of the grapevine, and we can get it out. But damn it, I'm not being BS'd anymore. I need to know what you're going to do or offer is going to, improve the ecosphere in digital currencies, or why am I talking to you? You see my point?
Absolutely. And you brought up the idea of privacy. Privacy is an extremely important thing. We've been working on it now for 4 years. It's an arms race because, every action produces a reaction from the other side. Every time someone tries to invade privacy, we find a way to protect it.
Especially when Dylan says in it being philanthropic or you're supporting things. I mean, what's a perfect example? I want to help with the defense fund of Edward Snowden. I want to support WikiLeaks. I want to do antiwar.com. I want my friend Morpheus, Thomas Costanzo, that's sitting in jail right now because he's a local Bitcoin guy.
You want to be able to donate without being retaliated.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's two kinds of things there on that are flip sides of the same coin. You want to be able to act without being retaliated with. Spending your money is an act of freedom of speech.
Free speech.
Of communicating. Yeah, and so people that try to interdict your ability to do that are criminal and so on. But on the flip side, sometimes you want it to be transparent so you can audit. Did that money really get to the people I was sending it to? I was donating it. Did it actually wind up in Zimbabwe where I wanted it? So you want the system to be able to support voluntary opt-in, opt-out. So if you want to make a public statement and prove to people you did some act, you can. And if you want to turn it off and say, nope, this is none of your business, I'm going to do it myself.
All right, now, here we're coming back. Here we go.
Okay.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Okay. I tell you, you know, this is, I'm skipping to the end. I'm we're done. We went through this. It's been, God, long time. What's that? 8 years at least that we've been covering this and finally that's how, you know, Davi and I met, you know, doing all this. How did we meet anyway?
Illuminopoly.
The what?
Illuminopoly. Do you remember this?
Oh, you came on the show to talk about this game or something.
It was my first Liberty Forum, and I like had this brainstorm. I started working on this game that was essentially Monopoly, but the rules were everyone is a bank. Everyone gets to issue their own currency in any quantity that they want, and the last central bank to collapse wins.
But it was inevitable. See, so we've understood how important economics are to freedom from Labagani.
And that was like 2008.
So this is, you know, with the Levolution and so on, you got, you know, for the first time, you know, in the Fed, which I'm like, ignore them. I just want to ignore them out of existence. And, you know, you want to end them, make them obsolete. You know, put them in the rearview mirror, man. I mean, you know, as you go plaid. So that's what, you know, is it BitShares that we're promoting or is it something? Let's talk to Michael Taggart, co-founder of Heronomics. All right, Michael, make your ad, man. I want to know everything that you want to add to the conversation we had so far.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on here. So, you know, I do agree, especially when it talks about consent or consent through non-action or lack of consent, is we're allowing these guys to just try to tax us and take our money and do all this sort of stuff. So, you know, BitShares itself stands for freedom. I hate to break it to you guys, but I will actually help you create your own currency for your radio show, and you guys can I can go over some of the options for you. But I've actually done it for another radio show, so you're going to be the second one that I've done this for. So
I want for my pirates. I want crypto pirate currency pirate R.
I'm totally down. Yeah, I think that's a great idea, and we'll go over that a little bit later because you can give it out to people and they can claim them or cash them in for advertising or something like that. But anyways, you know, we're about freedom and. We're here to talk about price-stable cryptocurrencies. Obviously, BitShares is the underlying format. And what we are able to do is create things like the HERO, as Stan mentioned before. The HERO is a price-stable cryptocurrency. It's predictive value. It's paid to the United States dollar back in 1913 before the Federal Reserve was created.
Why?
And then it because from that point on, the dollar is pretty much depreciated by 5% per year annually. And what we decided is there's a red pill and a blue pill you can take right now. You can use the Federal Reserve note if you want to, or you can decide to transact in and maybe put your money into a HERO, which is not depreciating at 5% per year. It actually appreciates at 5% per year, every single year. So right now the HERO is worth about $157 and some change right now. And you can expect it to increase by 5% per year. So it's a hedge against inflation. And you can actually sit in a currency that's honest because the blockchain governs the value of that currency.
Okay, wait. If it's tied to the dollar, Now, you're talking about the deflation, you know, the expansion of the, God, what do they call it? M3. What is that? The money supply. So you go, so you're like taking advantage of this past history as they're going inflating it, you're deflating it. So you had to start off with a certain amount. I mean, how's this working?
No, the dollar is just created into existence through debt, right? You can I actually call the hero is the anti-dollar, or I actually call the dollar the Nero because it fiddles while Rome burns, right? and basically what happens is the dollar decreases in value by average about 5% per year. We're pegging this back to when the dollar was actually worth an actual dollar, and then we're saying instead of it being devalued the way that they've been debasing it this entire time through inflation, we're actually going to create this thing to increase in value. Now, there's not a fixed supply because this dollar,
how do you
dollar,
increase
the zero,
in value? Based on what?
Based on the value. Well, here we go. So what we do to create a hero is you lock two times the amount that the hero is worth right now. So $157 times two. And that is locked in collateral by the blockchain, secured by the value in BitShares, and then the hero is then borrowed into existence. So it's actually a currency that is created through value instead of through debt. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I mean, I never even thought of that, but I mean, it's kind of you're tying it to the dollar just to do the opposite. So it's kind of a reverse hedge. We need to get sovereign heroes every dollar that we get to, you know, counter whatever something. I mean, I'm
well, it's not like
it's like taking Bitcoin and taking $200 worth of Bitcoin, locking it up into an escrow account, and then borrowing $100 of that in US dollars to go then transact and buy something at the mall. What's great about that sort of thing is that that loan is secure. Now imagine a bank basically saying, I want 200% collateral in order to give you a loan. And now you don't trust that bank because you're like, oh man, heck no. You know, you guys are going to probably take my money. You guys are going to go loan it to everybody else out. You're going to put down your balance sheets. You're going to inflate how much you have in there and all this other stuff. But the blockchain keeps it honest. The blockchain doesn't charge you interest. The blockchain holds it for you. And as long as you pay back the $100 in loan, it will give you back the $200 in collateral. And if you don't pay it back, or let's say the collateral amount decreases in value, you either have to add a little bit more collateral to keep your loan value up, or you just let it get margin called. It liquidates the collateral, satisfies a loan, and then gives you back the rest of the collateral, and no harm, no foul.
So you're competing directly in a totally different way with what central banks do on the Federal Reserve system of we lend debt money into existence by it being debt, to where you've done it in such a way using BitShares and having another, you know, blah, blah, blah to kind of, you know, increase it, lend it into existence with an asset behind it, like it was digitizing some commodity.
Exactly. It's honest money backed by value in something rather than backed by debt, which is what a Federal Reserve note is. 100%.
Okay, and the value of the hero that you're doing it is what, BitShares?
Right. We just secure the value of the hero. So we take, let's just say, $200 in BitShares, and we create $100 worth of a hero that can then be appreciating at 5% per year.
So you have created, BitShares has created. Did you guys give a presentation at New York Bitcoin Conference a few years ago when this started? Is that what you guys?
I'll let Stan answer that, but I believe that we've been to several conferences. And
I'm just trying to think. I've heard some of it. Of course, back then, I didn't know what the hell you were talking about. But, you know, so you've created a churner to create these different currencies that have a lot of these different functions. So you're a cryptocurrency factory.
We're a smart coin factory, 100%. And we also are is we're actually the ability, as you've been stating several times, to be your own bank. You can now take your assets, place them inside your own personal wallet. You can then secure your own loans and create derivatives into existence. So you can take $100,000 of BitShares if you want to, create $50,000 worth of BitUSD if you want to, go and pay off your car or pay off some loans or your credit cards or whatever, still own your $100,000 worth of BitShares and have no interest loan that you can just pay back over time to the network. As long as your collateral does not decrease, then you don't have to worry about adding anything to the margin or doing anything like that. If the value of BitShares actually goes up, you can
take some of your collateral out, or you can get more of a loan and pay off more stuff if you want to. We're allowing you to participate in a blockchain-based bank and system and exchange that is governed completely by the blockchain for the first time in history, really, that has no interest and is backed by value instead of debt, has 3-second transaction times, can run 100,000 transactions per second, can compete actually with Visa, MasterCard, NASDAQ, and everything. And you have the power to just buy the dollar, buy the euro, or you can have the power to actually create it, you know, pay off your mortgages, create your own loans, do whatever you want to. And the value proposition that we have is in the hero is pretty much this. Everybody in the world isn't a gambler, and they're not a speculator. Most people don't want to take their life savings, put it into Bitcoin. They do right now because it's, you know, going up hundreds of percents. But when it goes down half, when it corrects, they don't want to be that person that has their money in there. But most people would like to have a stable, predictive currency, digital currency, that they can have private security and actually get a return on investment, a modest return, 5%. They're happy with that.
So you've created, you know, you've duplicated the banking system with a digital currency with a central bank that is kind of, it's not...
It's decentralized, 100%.
No, it's not really decentralized. It's more distributed. You know, it's kind of like...
Well, it's...
Go ahead.
It's more decentralized. It's more decentralized than Bitcoin, right? Because there's 25 or so people on every time zone at any given time that are signing these blocks. So, I'd say it's got no middleman. Honest robots at every one of those nodes.
Okay, well, see, it's distributed from the robots.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, that's one thing we were discussing this terminology. You know, decentralized is its own kind of thing, and they may network, but distributed is kind of from something. You know, hold on.
Currency and
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There's one more thing I got to tell you before we run out of time.
No, we're out of time, but we still got the archive and doing this. But go ahead; it'll be in the archive.
Okay. Well, we mentioned the $100 million that are sitting there in our reserve pool, and your listeners can actually vote to do libertarian functions, add new functionality to what we're doing. So if they get a BitShares wallet, they can go in and say, "Yeah, I like that proposal to have more privacy or more whatever." I think that that's a unique and powerful thing, and love to see and get your community involved in coming in and helping us.
Okay.
Vote for
this is, you know, the BitShares. If I were to look at, BTS.
It seems like this could be a double-edged sword to me. Like, it could also be that you're overwhelmed by a whole bunch of users that want to take it and vote on proposals.
Social
to
justice warriors are going to assassinate Trump.
It's possible. But what we do have in there is a couple of things. Number one, it costs money to do proposals and stuff like that, so people don't do them lightly. Number two, you can elect somebody to be a proxy for you, so you don't have to sit there and check every week or every month or anything like that. You can have somebody that's like a team leader or somebody that you trust or anything like that and say, "Hey, guy, I trust your judgment. Whatever you vote on, I'll back it up with the shares of my votes, too, by making you a proxy and whatnot."
Most of the world is not libertarian. So, like, if you flipped a switch and suddenly all users were on this system and they were voting on how it was developed, you would end up with things like, medical bills aren't processed with the system and food is free. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you opened it up to a pure democracy right now, people would have outrageous ideas for what they want from a currency.
Well, he's saying that's limited by their having to spend actual money to do it.
Well, they would do it. You think crazy people aren't willing to spend money on crazy
Barbara
ideas?
Barbara Streisand's got a check for you, okay?
Well, yeah, they are. They get voted down. But there's never been really any abuse of that in the last few years that it's really been up.
Okay, well, let's look at, all right, it's been up since, what are we looking at? September 14 here, or before, you know, the end of the summer in 14. And
July.
So it went up. It's a gazillion dollar. The price is what? See, the green is the price. So it's kind of, you know, blipped up and kind of going and going and going. And then all of a sudden, this last summer, it just shot up, and now it corrected about half of that. So it's up more than what its average. But you know, it had this big giant spike, and then it went down. Why?
I think people heard about us a little bit. There's some jumps in all the other cryptocurrencies right around that time, too. So people
got new money and they decided to distribute that around to a couple of the other players. We were sitting around the top 10, top 15 around that time anyway, so I think they spread it out around that top 10, top 15, yeah, in addition to all those ICOs that were jumping around that same time.
Well, see, I just don't want to get in a situation to where it's just another ICO and you made mine, didn't, kind of, and here's the hero, and oh, by the way, we locked it to the dollar. And I'm like, what do I care? I mean, why would you do that? You know, so this is, but it's really, it's the tech. You know, the being able to do this, and the selection for the dollar and that 5% thing was why? Because it was a easier understand direct hedge against the dollar. Is that the point?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's basically a very fine example of reality. The reality is that dollar back in 1913 has 157.67 cents worth of buying power right now, but unfortunately, the dollar that you have in your pocket does not. And there's a reason for that.
I'm
and
so most people want to,
right? Well, it's crazy. And that's the thing, is that most people want to just make a return on their investment, 5% per year.
So you are setting up a situation to
it's
where
a pretty good return.
Well, see, I'm waiting for, this is what, you know, the SEC is coming in. Oh, no, not that one. When we get white Bitcoin that we can have, you know, or these currencies that are, ooh, and there's one that's tied to the dollar, and it can be used in our ETF of our retirement fund of approved your pension 401k, and we can buy whatever. Well, then you become a very stable, you know, it's tied to the dollar, it's 5%, doing, you know, it's kind of, ooh, I can understand this, and it might be, whether it is or not, that's what you're going for, is the future of these guys, these hedge funds and so on, segueing into digital currencies. You're making an infrastructure for that.
Not just them, but anybody, just a regular person that wants
but
to. We're trying to simplify that down.
But you're setting it up so
them.
That they can and make it easy, and you're going to some financial advisor with this, and here's something that you could easily sell to your new retiring client of whatever.
Exactly. And any company can come in there and create their own smart coins and basically create the same thing. We've got people like Bond on Blockchain that are going to come in and do, you know, 10-15% bond type coins that people buy, and then they go invest in real estate, this, that, and the other, and then over a 2 or 3 year period that bond matures and then they pay them out. And what's great about that is there's not the traditional banking time locks. These are the more liquid tokens, so they can be traded around at any given time. The blockchain governs the payouts based on that, and they're able to do all sorts of interesting things now. And all these services and products can be brought to people using the blockchain, as was promised with the promise of Bitcoin, and how they're going to be able to free the world and transact, and remittances are going to be so much cheaper. Have you guys tried to send some damn payments on the Bitcoin network or Ethereum lately?
$4 $4.
That's what I'm.
Another talk show host had not had any Bitcoin. We set them up. We had a party this weekend. Michael Badnarik, you know, a former LP candidate, you know, was visiting Phoenix, and we were partying and had, and kind of, and everybody comes together. Well, this one talk show host that's really popular, he's in kind of the Patriot community, the Common Sense Show, Dave Hodges. He's like, what's this? And so I went on that Sunday night, did a big crypto, you know, explanation thing as best I could. And I made it fun, entertaining, and informative. But I had to set him up with his own Airbits. I go, here's an Airbits. I'm sending it to you. Here's $10. Okay? It cost me, you know, a couple bucks. I'm like, what the hell? Then he sends it back. It was like a $4, $3 and some transaction. And I go, yeah, he goes, why would I do it? You wouldn't. I go, but of course it sees, it sees $1 million as the same, so it might be better than that. But this microtransaction thing, that promise is gone, and they better get it back. So that's what we were talking to Roger.
So we have that.
Well, we're going to be talking, you know, you have that anything customize and do, and it's got to be built on, you know, I'm interested
Not really. We're 3 second transaction, or three cents for a regular member and half a cent.
Yeah, but it
for
still has that, all these other features that we're talking about, which we can do. I'm telling you, if you guys can do a pirate coin, and if we don't get what we want, we go to Nexus, then we can talk about and make it and do and something. So
I'll do a pirate coin with you live on the air if you want to.
Yeah, man, that's what Dobby and I are doing. We're working it out. All right, we'll go ahead and talk to you guys. Stan, thanks. I got to get the tone. Dylan, awesome. Michael, good. Who was I just talking to? Is this Michael?
Yeah, it's Michael.
Okay, so we will talk about actually doing, you know, something, you know, and Davi and I will set the criteria and we'll see if you can do and we'll see how it works. We'll work out something because you got a bunch of guys pushing the living crap out of it and we're going to be making our presence known at Nexus, so you'll hear about it.
Perfect.
Hey, right. Gotta go.
The thing that I did with the other radio show is this. So I'd create about a billion coins for them and so they can give them away to guests. And
all
then
right,
they
cool.
Can
we'll talk about it later. I got to go, man. Yep. Thanks, guys.
Have a good one.
Cool. Thanks. Yep, bye.
Thanks. Oh, bye-bye.